Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. So the gospel today concerning the centurion applies to us very clearly. And of course the contrast is the centurion who is a Roman, he's a military man, and he's a Roman. And clearly, I think the contrast is that he is not Jew, sure. And so we have always this question of those who are outside the revelations of God on one hand, and those who have received them. And often, I think we find that even those who are outside of the revelations of God somehow or other, through their hearts and by the power of the Holy Spirit, the Lord enlightens them and enables them. So it goes, and when Jesus entered Capernaum, there came unto him a centurion, beseeching him, and saying, Lord, my servant lieth at home, sick with palsy, grievously tormented. And Jesus said unto him, I will come and heal it. The centurion answered and said, Lord, I am not worthy that thou shouldest come under my roof, but speak the word only, and my servant will be healed. For I am a man under authority, having soldiers under me. And I say to this man, go, and he goeth, and to another, come, and he cometh, and to my servant, do this, and he doeth it. And so this centurion obviously understands the context, and he knows that Jesus is a Jew, and he knows that there's this tension. And yet, amazingly, the centurion had faith. And the faith, it seems to me, came directly to him. It did not arise out of his historical, from his historical life, and from the Romans and those who were pagans outside the church. But somehow, by the grace of God and through his infinite love and mercy, the Holy Spirit came upon him and enlightened him. And he had heard about Jesus. And he had heard about his marvelous works and miracles that he performed. And he came to him in simplicity and faith. And not only did he come in simplicity and faith, he understood his own position. That actually he was outside of the church, the ancient church. And yet, he came with his tremendous faith, asking for the Savior to essentially say the word and heal the servant. So when Jesus heard it, he marveled and said to them that followed, verily I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel. And this is an interesting statement. So let's say we are the ones, and the question is: are there those who have not, who are not of the new Israel church, who appeal to our Lord and God and Savior Jesus Christ, and appeal to the faith that comes upon them? And through the enlightenment of our Lord. And because the question is, we have received all the revelations, and we have received the great mystery. We received the mystery of baptism and chrismation. We received the mystery of Holy Communion. And in a sense, we have received really the living life of Christ through the divine services. And the question is, do we believe deeply? Do we have hardness of heart and disregard the power of the Gospels? And so here we have Jesus heard it, he marveled and said to them that followed, "Verily, truly I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel." And I think for the moment we are the Israel he's speaking about. Is our faith deep? Is our faith trusting? Is our faith a faith filled with love and devotion? Do we manifest our faith in our daily prayers? Do we manifest our faith in our reading of the Holy Scriptures? Do we manifest our faith in attending the divine services? Do we manifest a faith in attending the needs of others who are around us and about us? Do we manifest a faith even caring for our own children and for our own loved ones? And this, of course, is always a question. Here the centurion was outside of Israel, and he was not born into the revelations of the Old Testament. But he had heard about our Lord and God and Savior Jesus Christ. He came filled with faith and honesty. He was profoundly honest about himself, having people as soldiers under authority. And he told the Savior this, and yet the Savior looked into his eyes and looked into his heart and saw a faith which about which he said, "I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel. And I say unto you that many shall come from the east and the west and shall sit down with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob in the kingdom of the heaven." So obviously our Lord is looking forward, and he realizes, of course, and understands the church is going to be established. And the church is not simply a church for the Jews. It's a church for all the races of our world. That everyone has the potential to come to the church. And it says, "So the many shall come from the east and the west and shall sit down with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven." And that is those who are not born into the faith discover the faith. And they follow the light of Christ that leads them to the Holy Church. So that they can equally and completely become the children of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and enter into the kingdom of heaven. But it says, "So the children of the kingdom shall be cast out into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth." And so here's the contrast. So we, the faithful, we need to examine ourselves and to look into our own hearts and to discover what are the principles that we serve? How do we manifest our faith? And in so doing, try to turn away from the things of the world and give ourselves the things of God. And this is an amazingly difficult task these days. I remember when I was a child and living in the neighborhood in Lebanon, New Hampshire, in the latter part of my youth. And on summer evenings, children, I'm sure, young as 6 years old, and as old even as 12, 13, or 14, would come out on evenings into the neighborhood and play games like hide and seek or kick the can and many other games we would play. And it was sent, and people, our parents, felt safe. They felt that their children were being embraced by people who shared similar values. And on the other hand, there were throes of little warnings that if someone does this or if someone does that, you know, be careful, don't associate with them. And so there was this path. And there was a sense nights were very hot and so on. I remember the streets and where we played and where we did things and the laughter and so on. Today, brothers and sisters in Christ our God, things have changed dramatically. And so here we have this whole thing of the internet and all our devices, and we must understand that that neighborhood, this new neighborhood, is a neighborhood that is filled with sin and darkness. And that it's beckoning to us. And it's fascinating because it's many different levels. One person will go out and do something, you know, against the children, right? And then suddenly something pops up and takes them to another place. And then another place, and then another place, and eventually to complete darkness, immorality, and spiritual death. And so here we have this remarkable difficulty in our lives. And so what I think what it tells us is the church is the seed. Church is a place where our children can learn and understand and have fellowship in a way that it's nurturing and uplifting and it's safe and that doesn't lead their hearts and minds to those dark places. So, share.